The readings for today, they're all about Jesus' vision of the church, what it's supposed to be for other people who see it. We got these three images of salt and light and then a city set on a mountaintop. All of these things, Bishop Barron pointed out in his homily for this weekend, they're all things that are not for their own sake, but they serve another good. They help something else. So salt by itself is just salt. It's not that good. I don't know if anybody here just eats salt, but that's kind of weird. But salt, it changes a meal. It makes it taste better. Salt is there for the food. Light, also, if you just look at light, you don't see very much. You just hurt your eyes. But when light radiates, it serves another purpose. We can see other things by it so that they're revealed. We can walk without stubbing our toe. We can find our way in the dark. So light also by itself doesn't do too much, but it serves another purpose. The same is for the city set on a mountaintop. Because it's high and elevated, it can be a landmark for navigation. It can be a kind of security when you're going around, like, okay, well, the city's there, and that means that we have to go this much further, or, you know, through the fog, we can still see the city above the clouds, those sorts of things. So this is what the church is supposed to be. It's supposed to serve another purpose. It's supposed to help people see their way and change the world. And the gospel that has been proclaimed by the church, it has done this. It's fundamentally changed the world and the trajectory of human history. But today, it seems like the church isn't doing that very much. Do you notice that? Why is that? How come nobody cares about the church anymore? There are a lot of symptoms for this problem, and you've seen all these before. Like, how come only less than a third of Catholics actually go to Mass? What is that? If everybody went, we'd have to build many more and bigger churches, but thank goodness, I guess, that nobody goes because we have enough space. Like, what kind of problem is this? Confession, people go into confession regularly, is at record lows. And it's not because people sin less. There's an issue here. There's this study that I think a lot of you heard about where out of all these people who said, yes, I am Catholic, like 75% of the respondents said the Eucharist is a symbol of Jesus. And they don't believe that it's actually what the church teaches, Jesus' own body and blood. I worked at the high school, the Catholic high school before, and then working with students here. There's this weird thing that can happen sometimes when students really buy in and they begin to love going to Mass. They go home and their parents will ridicule them because Sunday comes around and they say, let's go to Mass. Like their parents aren't just like, well, you can go if you want to, but I'm not going. They're like, what are you doing? You don't have to go to Mass every Sunday. And they kind of like, it irks me a lot, but it happens. It's happened more than a few times. Don't even mention going to Mass during the week. Okay, we're just talking about Sunday. There's also the strange thing that happens. Sometimes a student will say, I think the Lord might be calling me to be some sort of missionary for a time. A net missionary, a focused missionary, some other kind of missionary. And a lot of people support them. But oftentimes the place where they get the most resistance is from Catholics and Catholics in their own family, like their parents. Like they're not just like, hey, I think that's a bad idea. They're like, please do not do this. Something's wrong. We know still, like, it's a good thing. I think all of us look at it as a good thing that we have priests and we have religious brothers and religious sisters. But a lot of the time when the question comes down to it, people will say, yes, we need priests, but not my son. Somebody else has to do that. Or yes, it's good to have religious sisters, but not my daughter. I don't want that for her. Then there's like a bunch of moral issues too. Contraception among people who are Catholic, porn use, abortion. We have like a record amount of literacy and access to what the church teaches, but people, by and large, they're more illiterate than ever before on what the church teaches or why or what we're here for, you know. The gospel is here in the world. The church is teaching, but there's just an unbelievable amount of hopelessness and meaninglessness and suicide. What's the problem? This isn't what the Lord intended. This isn't what we heard about in the gospel today. Why are things the way they are? I would love to hear your thoughts and your answers to this, because it's a problem and it can't be ignored. And so it's worth talking about what the problem is and what a possible solution could be. Some people think that basically we're just bad Catholics. Like, we know better and we don't measure up. I would say that about myself. I would say that I generally do know better and don't live how I know I'm called to live. That's where my failure is. the solution, if we're just like a church of bad Catholics and people don't know what they ought to do, if they don't do what they know they ought to do, then the solution is, you know better, so go be better. But I don't think that's like the root of the problem. I think there are people like that. Like I said, I'm somebody like that. But I think this is my hypothesis for why we are in the place we are in, and other people think this too. I think that many of us, maybe even most of us, we've got something less than the real thing. Okay, less than the real Jesus, less than the whole gospel, less than what the church teaches. So that means that we don't actually know better. Maybe we're doing the best that we know. But if we have something that's less than the real thing, then it's not gonna make a difference. Now, here's the problem though. All of us, we think we have the real thing. I think I have the real thing. You think you have the real thing. So why would we go looking for anything else? But what if we don't? Or maybe we have the real thing, but we just haven't gone past the first few pages. And so we're missing so much of the story. That's a possibility too. Now, don't misunderstand me. I don't want to say the Catholic Church isn't the real thing. I believe with all of my heart and all of my life that the Catholic Church is the church Jesus gave us, and that Jesus is the Son of God, and that the gospel he gives us is the solution to all of the world's problems. And I think we can get to it. It is what the church teaches. But what I'm trying to say is, I think that we haven't received what the church has. The gospel, the truth that is revealed by Jesus. So you've heard this before. There are like three main varieties of Catholics who haven't quite grasped onto the real thing. The first one is the famous cafeteria Catholic, who says, well, I like this about being Catholic and I don't like that. And I do like that, so I'm going to take the first and last and just skip the middle one. That's the cafeteria Catholic, because you just go through with your tray and you're like, yeah, okay, I'll take those. You pick what you like. Then there's the consumer Catholic, where everything is just based on convenience. If I can go, maybe I will. If it serves me, then yeah, I'll be there. It's the question that's always asked is, what do I get out of it? That's the consumer Catholic. And then there's the cultural Catholic too, where basically the bottom line is, my grandpa did this, and my dad did this, and now here I am. And so when you ask, so why do you go to Mass? They say, it's what we do on Sunday. And there's not like a deeper answer sometimes. Now there is a deeper answer, but they've never been in a place to explore it, or they've never asked the question. You might say, Father Rob, how can you challenge people's faith? It's such a personal thing. Like how can you stick your nose in that? And the answer is that faith is extremely personal. And the way that the Lord reveals himself to each of us, the way that he has come and impacted our lives, is completely unique and individual. However, the faith that Jesus gives us, the truth of the gospel, the teaching of the church, this is an objective thing. There is right, there's what's true and what's false. This is why we've had councils and debates all through the history of the church, because we're trying to find what's the real thing. What's the truth about who Jesus is? What does he actually teach us about this? How are we to live? There's a bunch of disagreement, but ultimately there's a truth that we can find or not. And then there's a lot of falsehood too. When somebody is dealing with an issue, maybe they find some sort of teaching of the church problematic, or they have difficulty, they find themselves like considering leaving the Catholic Church. Oftentimes, and I'm grateful, they come and talk to me, and we'll just talk like, what's in your mind? How did you get here? What's the problem? Tell me about it. And when they have explained their difficulty, very often, happily, I get to tell them, that's not what the church teaches at all. The thing that you are so hung up on, it's not even the real thing. Like, if I believed what you believe, then I wouldn't believe it either, because that's a bunch of garbage. But here's what the church actually teaches. What we always have to be looking for, what has Jesus actually said? Who is Jesus actually? And what does his church actually teach? Bishop Olkowiak said this at a confirmation homily once. I just really like this line. He's got these like punchy little one-liners, and he sneaks them in the middle of a homily, so you got to be paying very close attention. But he said, if discipleship is boring, if following the Lord is boring for you, then either you have not yet begun, or you're doing it wrong. I like that a lot. If it's boring for you to be a Catholic, then either you have not yet begun, or you're doing it wrong. This, I think, is good news for us who are bored or find this kind of lifeless. The thing that I wonder about when I'm talking with somebody who, you know, you propose to them like, well, this is what the church actually asks of you, or this is what Jesus meant by this, or this is what the church teaches. Oftentimes there's a resistance to it. And if, for example, I was just talking to this guy who's in marriage prep. This was like a year ago, actually. So I wasn't just talking to him, but, he said, so when did it become mandatory to go to Mass on Sunday? Like, is that a new thing? And I was so glad that he was so frank and vulnerable that I just like explained to him, like, I don't know what people told you before, but this has always been the thing. For the last 2,000 years, we have all had to go to Mass on Sunday, and that has never changed. But he said, I never knew that. I never grew up. So, but sometimes people in that situation where you're sort of like, well, this is actually what's going on. Sometimes they won't take it up, and they kind of cling to what they've had. But my question is like, why do you hold on to something so boring? Why is it's so flavorless and uncompelling? Why hold on to this? It's not worth very much. Now, I got to be careful about this because I know I do that. Okay, so like I'm faulting them for that. Like, why are you holding on to this lifeless kind of belief? But I know that I do that. I'm, you know, because of pride, because of unwillingness to change, whatever. But the point is, there's something wrong. Like, where's the flavor? Where's the light? Where's the city set on a mountaintop? All of this is not supposed to be a downer of a homily. Because actually, I think this is good news. If you're somebody who finds all of this kind of boring, if you find Jesus kind of like he doesn't make a difference, if church is something that you could take or leave, then the good news is that that's not the real thing. If you find it easy to discard, the thing that you find boring isn't the real thing. The real thing isn't as boring as what you have found. So what I don't want you to get from this homily, so go out, quit messing around, and do better, people. Okay, don't want you to hear that. And I also don't want you to hear me say, like, so quit being stupid and wise up and find the real thing. You know, that's not what I want to say either. But what I want to do is to stir in you this desire for more than you have found so far. Our hearts thirst for meaning, for a deep life. This is what is offered to us in the gospel. There is more than this. So I want to stir up that thirst in your heart. We're made for a life of adventure and truth and meaning and sacrifice and beauty. And if you haven't found that yet, then keep looking, because this is what we're made for, and do not settle for less. What I want from you is that you search and find the real thing. What I want to do all the time with what we offer here at St. Luke, with the schedule that we have, I want to give you and anybody who comes in through the doors many opportunities to encounter in a new way the compelling gospel, the living person of Jesus, and the beauty of the church that he gave us. We're not looking for what is comfortable or for what fits us. We're looking for what's true. So I don't want you to rest until you have found not something that you like, but something that is worth giving your whole life for, something that is worth dying for. Now, this homily isn't just for those of us who found all of this boring. If you're totally engaged, if you're willing to give your life, if faith and Jesus and the church is a non-negotiable for you, then that is wonderful. But the call to each of us then is to not settle. Because as soon as we stop going deeper, we lose what we have. We stagnate and we die. So wherever you are, the call is to go deeper, to desire more, and to search and find it. So how do we do this? There are some sources that are essential. Okay, the first one, of course, is Scripture. If you never read the Gospels, then go ahead and read the Gospels. They're short, actually. They're pretty brief. And then after the Gospels, read the rest of the New Testament. I didn't actually read the Gospels from beginning to end until I was in seminary. And I was amazed that I didn't have like a mystical experience. But just reading them, I found out that Jesus was different than how I had imagined. And it changed the way I related to him. It changed the way that I spoke to him. If you never read the Gospels, go read them. Just read a little every day. The second source is the catechism. You know, sometimes people get in disagreements and somebody says, well, no, this is what the church teaches on that. Well, no, this is what the church teaches on that. The good news about the catechism is that the church has given us a book, a big book, that says, this is what the church teaches on this. Just check your answers in there. If it lines up, then you're right and you found the real thing. If it doesn't line up, then that person was wrong and we got to change. Everybody is called to this, because I don't want you to let me like change your belief and your faith. Jesus does this. Jesus takes our imperfect and defective faith and knowledge, and he constantly molds it and corrects it and changes it. Now, I want to put in a plug here, because my brother and sister-in-law, they live in Minnesota and they work on two very exciting projects, and they are these podcasts called Catechism in a Year and Bible in a Year by Father Mike Schmitz. And these, basically, it's like a 15-minute podcast for every day of the year, where in the course of the year, you'll read through the entire Bible or through the entire catechism. And I'm on Catechism of the Year right now, and it is good. But like, almost everybody has 15 minutes of drive time in their day. Just put it on while you're driving. If you do this for a year, if you do this for a month, if you listen, less than that, if you listen to the first week of these things, you will learn so much. And what you have and what you know will change so much, and it will be so enriched. You will not ask for your money back, but it's free, okay? It's free. It's like never been easier than right now to delve into these two very important sources of our faith. Okay, the third thing is prayer, especially Eucharistic adoration, because in Eucharistic adoration, we are so vulnerable. The Lord is exposed on the altar, and our hearts are exposed as we kneel here before him. Take the risk. Take that kind of risk of vulnerability. Go and spend some time with the Lord in there, and you'll find out where his gifts for you are and where you're lacking too, where you need to ask him for more. But you can't do this without prayer. And the last thing is to look at the lives of the saints, because the saints have found the real thing. They have found it, what is worth dedicating their entire lives to, and it has totally transformed them. The saints, and especially the martyrs, because what they found was worth pouring out every drop of their blood. That's what I want to find, and that's what I want you to find. When you find it, the real thing, it will be compelling and powerful and will turn you into light for others. Here's a little hint as you look for the real thing, okay? St. Paul gives us a hint in the second reading today of what we're looking for. He says that as he came and proclaimed the gospel, this real thing, it's not preached with human eloquence or human wisdom. It is simply Jesus Christ. God giving his life, dying on a cross for humanity. That means that the first mark of the real thing, it looks like Jesus. It always looks like Jesus. It'll look like surrender and obedience. It means the words that come out of our mouths will be, "I will serve." It means that we believe, "I do not belong to myself. My life is not for me. My life is not about me." When you find the real thing, it'll look like Jesus. Jesus and the gospel he preached, and which is taught by the Catholic Church, is God's answer to the deepest problems and questions of our lives. Maybe what you have known so far is uninteresting or doesn't make a difference because you haven't found the real thing yet. Maybe you haven't met Jesus in the depth that he wants to meet you. Maybe you're only at the first pages of the book, but he seeks you. Jesus wants to reveal himself to you. So search for him.